Always the origin story. What made a cello first fall into your hands as a kid?
Well, my parents were both professional musicians, and they didn't have any intention that we, my brother and sister and myself, would become professionals, but they just felt that music was a part of education. And so wisely, they sort of prodded us and forced us to play an instrument. I was given the piano, my sister the violin, my brother the clarinet, and after a few weeks, I just rebelled. I didn't like the piano. And my mother said, "Well, you're going to have to play something." So she had had a quartet over at the house to play just for fun. And I said, "If I have to play anything, I'll take the big one." I didn't even know what its name was. And I gravitated enough to it to do my 20 minutes of practice before school every day. And I suppose subconsciously, the low notes reminded me of my father's deep bass baritone voice. So I stuck with it. And after a few years, I realized that I no longer wanted to be a baseball player. I wanted to be a cellist.
So, how old were you when that cello first, when you first picked up that cello?
About 8 and a half.
Okay, and your mother, you say she was a musician also. What was her?
She played the violin.
Oh,
And she
okay.
met my father when he was a violinist. And she said, "You know, you're not very talented on the violin. Why don't you think of singing? I heard you sing a solo in the church the other day, and it was beautiful. You have a nice voice." So he became a singer and won the Metropolitan Opera auditions in 1939, toured Europe as a recitalist. And he became a very great singer.
Talk a little bit more about why that was a great preparation for you to do Zell and the Cleveland Orchestra.
Well, up until the 60s, one would have to say that every solo cellist that had made a concert career as a soloist had started out playing in an orchestra. This doesn't happen with violinists. Concertmasters don't seem to graduate to being a soloist, but cellist, it was very common. So I was in that line. I think playing in a really great orchestra with a great musician as a conductor, as George Sell was, I had a musical training that was about performance, absolutely secondary to none. And the difficulties of being an orchestral musician, adjusting to one's colleagues, following a conductor's beat, and being able to play the music that's put before you, since it comes a new bunch of music every week, is incredibly demanding. And it's sort of like the working of development of becoming a good musician. Even Mozart's father in 1756, when Wolfgang was born, says in his violin playing book, "A well-prepared orchestral musician is much more acknowledged for his brilliance than a soloist, because a soloist can just play his part by rote. But an orchestral musician has to adjust to the soloist, the conductor, his colleagues." And that was in 1756, before even any Beethoven symphonies. So I took that to heart, and I really embraced my orchestral years. Leonard Rose, my teacher, had been principal of the New York Philharmonic. Piatigorsky, of course, was principal of the Berlin Philharmonic, and Starker had been principal in Chicago. So I was happy to stay longer than just 1 or 2 years. In fact, I became so entranced with the music that I was playing, and as a cellist, to play Mozart is particularly glorious because he didn't write for the cello as a solo instrument. So I just stayed on, and it was some of the happiest years of my life.
Well, and the stories about Zell include that he would rehearse Mozart so exactingly and just not just kind of toss it off, but really got inside it. And, I mean, I
Oh.
guess he did that with everything, but especially Mozart, maybe.
Yes, I think Sell thought that Mozart was the greatest musician who ever lived. And when we would do a piano concerto, which was quite often, because he just would program those piano concerti, he'd rehearse the orchestral material before the soloist would come, and then the soloist would have two rehearsals. Yeah, Zell's performing repertoire at the Cleveland Orchestra was very small. His knowledge of repertoire was immense. But that meant that in my years, 63 to 71, I played major works like Dvorak G Major, which is being played tonight, that great symphony, four or five times within those years. Schumann's Second Symphony, Mozart Jupiter. They're just pieces that Zell would pick up where he rehearsed the five rehearsals before every concert a couple of years before. So he was rehearsing the Cleveland Orchestra like string quartets rehearse. So that's one of the reasons why it became such an incredible ensemble.
Yeah. Lynn Harrell, my guest, who's playing tonight at the Fox at 7:30. Now let's talk about the 70s, because from all the recordings we have, you had such great colleagues, and it looks like it was such a great world of music for you to be involved with, I don't know, James Levine and Ashkenazi and Perlman and all these people. Talk about your musical world that you emerged into as a soloist.
Yes, it was quite wonderful. Jimmy Levine was in Cleveland before he went to the Metropolitan Opera and eventually became music director. And we started playing concerts together. He had accompanied students of my father's in Aspen when he was 12, 13 years old. And and then when Jimmy moved to New York and was going to do more conducting at the Metropolitan Opera, he insisted with the contract that he was getting with RCA Records that he make some cello records with me. I had to audition. Jimmy and I played through a Mendelssohn sonata for one of the producers, and I guess I passed the muster. So we recorded the Dvorak Concerto. That was the first thing we recorded. And then we recorded two albums of cello and piano. So my recording career really started because of my close collaboration and friendship with Jimmy Levine. But then to play with Itzhak Perlman, he was at my first Dvorak performance with piano in Meadowmount, a string camp up in upstate New York. And I was at his very first Brahms Concerto performance. And we became good friends. And then when Ashkenazi was playing violin sonatas with Perlman, he said, "I'd like to do the trios. Who would you suggest?" And Perlman said, "Well, Lynn Harrell. Who's he?" Ashkenazi said. So Ashkenazi also sort of auditioned me by playing a recital first. But that was a wonderful opportunity. We actually recorded a Rachmaninoff sonata and some Beethoven sonatas at that time. But then we did the trios. And over a seven-year period, we did all the trios with Itzhak of Beethoven, and then of Brahms as well. Zuckerman also I met as a firebrand in Meadowmount, this string camp, when he was 15 years old. And we became friends, and we played a great deal together over the next few years. I feel really so gifted with the greatness of the colleagues that I was able to make my career with. It's just an incredible learning experience for me.
And you were all equals. You were all of a generation. You must have just felt you were changing the world musically in some ways, didn't you?
I suppose so. We didn't think about it when we were doing it, just because we were introspective and working together, and we didn't compare ourselves to other artists and other people at our age. We just were busy having fun together and making music together.